This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. You've made the commitment.
You caught the vision.
You want your family to serve God.
But sometimes it's hard to put feet on that vision. Hey, Hal, do visions have feet?
How do you get from principle to practice?
What do you need to know about the issues affecting your family?
How do you apply God's Word in the 21st century?
Let's talk about it.
This is Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young.
Well, hello, everybody. This is Hal.
And Melanie.
And we want to say welcome to Making Biblical Family Life Practical. We're coming to you tonight from Winnsboro, Louisiana.
Winnsboro, Louisiana?
Well, okay, Gilbert, Louisiana.
We're in the middle of nowhere.
But nah.
We're in a gorgeous place.
This is not nowhere. This is a beautiful section of a beautiful state that we love with people who are dear to us.
And in fact, we're having a blast because we're doing another writing retreat. We're trying to finish a book we're working on, and our friends here have welcomed us to their gorgeous horse farm, and we're hiding out in a little cabin and writing like mad.
Right, and so we don't have our usual studio environment here. We are sitting at the dining room table.
That's right.
Melanie's giving me a look because our usual studio is the living room. Okay.
Well, the living room doesn't have as many hard surfaces, so you might hear some echoes. Okay. Anyway, we are in a delightful place. We're having a great time writing. And tonight we're going to be talking about how do you stay Christian in college?
That is a real concern, isn't it? You know, because a lot of homeschoolers, you know, most homeschoolers, I think, are being raised in a Christian family environment. And they're making decisions about going off to college. And there's, you know, there's a lot of things that you want to do in college that may be hard to find in at a Christian college or a Bible college somewhere. And so you end up frequently deciding for a secular college.
Well, you know what? And even if you go to a Christian college, that doesn't mean you're going to keep your faith. Because we were talking to a friend the other day who sent her child to a Christian college and came back confused. And you're still confused. And it's 6 years later.
Well, you know, and I think there's an important point there that, first off, that each of our children is an individual. And the second important point is there's not a formula. You can't say, because I sent my child to the denominational school, to the, you know, Christian college or Bible school, that they're going to accept Christ after him. And at the same time, you can't say, well, if you consign your child to a secular university environment, then they are doomed, I tell you. You know, that's not true. We've got special guests tonight. We have a vested interest in this one. But we're going to welcome to the program our son, John Calvin Young. Do you want to have a word of introduction on that, dear?
Yes. John is our oldest son. He's a college graduate, and he stayed Christian in college. And so we'd like to talk to John and find out what made the difference for him versus some of the other kids that he knew at college. John, are you there?
Yes. Glad to hear y'all tonight.
Good. Well, we're glad to have you on, John. John, can you tell us a little bit, where did you end up in college?
I got my degree from Washington Lee University up in the mountains of Virginia. It's an old, classy, traditional liberal arts college in a small town. It's been there over a quarter millennia, 250-plus years, in the beautiful mountains of the Shenandoah Valley of Virginia.
It sounds great. And I know, you know, from watching you go through that horrific academic experience there. But, you know, that is not a historically Christian college. And how did you end up making sure for that? Because that was actually your choice.
It was a bit complicated. I knew what I hoped I'd be studying, economics, politics, perhaps history and music. And I knew coming in that WNL offered superb opportunities in all those areas. I was also deeply attracted to that sense of tradition and history they have there, including what they call the honor system, a system of student self-governance by the one rule that everyone needs to act like a gentleman back in the days when it was all men, that does not tolerate theft or plagiarism on campus at all. I also figured I might be able to afford extremely expensive private school with its rather generous scholarships. And last but not least, it's a really beautiful campus. Red brick, grand white columns up against the mountain. I loved it there. I mean, it was basically what you imagine university should look like.
I think it is the prettiest college I have ever seen. It is really gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really neat to stand there on the quad and think about the city of Washington standing there on the colonnade. you know, or be in the area to think about, you know, Robert E. Lee, and you can see the place where he, where his horse hung out. You know, it's just, it's incredible. It's a beautiful place. But let's talk about what your experience as a homeschool graduate, Christian, incoming freshman was like. Mm-hmm. Was orientation a challenge for you, or did it start later?
Orientation was not much of a direct challenge. I will say there was a not inconsiderable amount of culture shock, just quite simply. I mean, I knew it was going to be an intensely Southern and traditional place, and that as a school known for having trust fund kids attending, you know, that there was going to be some interesting dynamics there. I perhaps did not fully evaluate the difference between the conservative Christian background I'd had and the world at large. I remember texting Dad during orientation saying, tea and tulip, referring to the old Calvinist doctrines of total depravity, just that you had the introduction to political correctness and alternative lifestyles and open acceptance of fornication, and here's how to be safe if you're going to go out and get thoroughly drunk and sleep with random people, and just, you know, it was a bit of a shock, but there wasn't much in the way of direct challenge. Now, part of that may have been I was on crutches and on painkillers from a dislocated knee and was basically sleeping and eating. I wasn't doing a whole lot else.
Okay. This is not a coping tactic that we recommend, but since you were there.
Being out there on painkillers is not useful.
Yeah. Well, I think that, you know, for most Christian parents, if they're sending their young people off to college, you know, those are the two concerns they've got are their students going to be able to see Christ in a secular college campus culture? And are the professors going to try and tear down their young person's faith? And you know, I think everybody kind of weighs that opportunity as they look at the school and as they look at the particular student. Now, you know, we were confident that you had enough grounding and maturity as a high school graduate that you were going to be able to manage. But did you ever feel that you were being attacked beliefs on that campus?
That's a very interesting question. Akin to an awful lot of homeschool kids, I believe I had been head into college loaded for bear on apologetics and debate. I was just looking forward to being challenged by a professor because I wanted to come down the size. I did not think humility was one of my best skills at that age. And I found out relatively quickly that although, yes, there were many professors who did disagree with you and would challenge you on it, that I was well prepared for that and really didn't find myself threatened by professors of the academic environment much. Granted, I took many of the Christian professors on campus and probably didn't take professors with the greatest animus against the faith. But that was not where my real challenges lay. The social atmosphere of campus I found to be much more of a challenge. I was living there with academic success, general residential contentment. I had decent room and everything. But social rejection, peer pressure, really, this sounds bad, but middle school level kind of playground bullying sort of psychological things going on among students, and just cliques and things that homeschool students are not likely to encounter much of. That proved to be one challenge. And the Christian community at large, although many, many strong, fine Christians involved, I never realized quite how strong the church in the area I grew up in was compared to evangelical Christendom as a whole, that many of my classmates, even professing Christians, didn't really consider huge swaths of their life in terms of the gospel. And in fact, would feel very threatened and sometimes push back on you if your decisions and your stand conflicted with theirs.
That's interesting.
You know, I think what you're saying is really something that people need to think about and prepare their kids for, that it may not be the professors that are so challenging, because most kids, I think, that are graduating from homeschool background, they've heard it, they know what they believe, they're ready to defend it, but that wearing down of what it feels like to be excluded sometimes is really hard. And particularly, I think, when what you said about the middle school behavior, because that is what really shocked me. Because when we were in college, college students seem to act more like kids than they do now. Mm-hmm. You know, they had plenty of silliness.
There was lots of foolishness still.
But the cliquishness, the middle school drama queen and outcast stuff and the exclusion and bullying, I don't remember much of that in college.
And you know, to be quite fair, this is not unique to your college. I mean, we're hearing this back from, you know, students at other colleges, both at, you know, historically Christian schools and at big state universities. That same kind of very petty behavior, pettiness is something that's quite surprising.
Well, to explain that a little bit more, I think I came in as a homeschool student. There had always been people I liked and people I didn't much care for, but I always felt in homeschool circles that I had a fair shake at popularity, at success, at whatever else, you know, that as long as I could get to know somebody, they would at least have a good chance at liking me. And I never really encountered before, well, being prejudged, you know, for your position, for your behavior, within or without something, you know, just because you didn't drink or just because you didn't have a girlfriend. You know, that sort of judgment and that sort of exclusion was really hard to take.
Yes, I can see that. And what you said, too, about the weakness of the church at large and other Christians not having the same kind of strength. I remember you saying that when you, Mom, we've got hundreds of kids on this campus that identify with the name of Christ. But when we suggest something, most are more concerned about whether people are going to think they're weird than they are about what God thinks. And the only kids that are more worried about what God thinks and what their peers think are the ones who were homeschool graduates. Do you remember saying that, John?
I remember thinking many similar things. The large thing was, I guess that sounds worse. I would rephrase that to say it was only the Christians who had come out of homeschooled backgrounds or very strong Christian schools that seemed to have that really strong outgoing faith that many others hadn't mm-hmm. really reached that point yet in their maturity. And often were driven more by, you know, C.S. Lewis talks about the desire to be inside the inner ring. Socially, you know, it could be in the in group, to be in the in crowd, to be popular. And he says, you know, that it's not wrong to want to be accepted, but you need to be very careful because it can make you do things that you wouldn't imagine otherwise. If that is the price of admission. And all too often, I found that other Christian young folks, and it's by no means limited to those who weren't homeschooled, but then homeschoolers that didn't get this right. But just in general, so many Christian young folks haven't really learned that and haven't learned that their faith is more important than their popularity, is more important than what people think of them.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I really like that comment. I like that quote from Lewis, too. We need to take a brief station break. Mm-hmm. And during this break, Hal, let's talk about this free webinar series we're going to have, this free webinar we're going to have Thursday night.
That's right. That's going to be Thursday, and if you're listening on the recording, it's going to be August 28th,
yes.
Thursday, we're going to have Lee Binns.
The home scholar is what they call her. She is an expert in high school transcripts, grades. We're going to have a webinar with her and with us, and it's going to be called A Homeschool Parent's Guide to Grades, Credits, and Transcripts. It's free. You join us Thursday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, and go to raisingrealmen.com/BINZ, B-I-N-Z, to reserve yourself a seat. Seats are filling up quickly because, you know, when I talk to parents about homeschooling high school, transcripts and how you do grades and what is a credit are the number one questions we get. And so we're going to answer those questions, us and our friend Lee Binz, the home scholar, Helen Melanie Young, Lee Binz, Thursday night, 8 p.m., raisingrealmen.com/BINZ. See you there.
Okay. Well, if you're just joining us, this is Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal Young.
And Melanie Young.
And our special guest, John Calvin Young. Okay. And we're talking about being a Christian. We're being a Christian on a secular college campus. How do you keep your faith in the midst of the cold, cruel academic world?
Now, John, you had the opportunity to study abroad. You spent your junior year in England at Oxford University. Britain has a very different social culture. How was the, you talk about what the social culture was like in college for you here. What was it like over there? Was it harder? Was it easier?
The critical difference in Britain was that as a culture where living Christianity is no longer a majority characteristic, to live as an outspoken and public Christian, really to identify as a Christian at all beyond just I attend church occasionally, and is to invite criticism or ridicule in many places. The raw numbers of believers in universities is far, far fewer than we think of over here. We calculated when I was in Christian student leadership at Washington Lee that in a class body of, I mean, in a university student body of about 1,800, 2,000 students, there were probably 600 or 800 that attended church semi-regularly, and at least 250 or 300 who were fairly serious, were identified as Christians, and you know, a fairly strong number who really were strong Christians. Oxford University had 20,000 students and probably had similar, maybe slightly larger numbers, period. So a few hundred students out of 20,000 would really publicly identify as Christians. The practical outworking of that was that Christianity was just not something you assumed. It was a key component of your identity because if you were going to identify as that, that meant something. Oxford as a whole is even more exclusive and cliquish than Washington Lee was. But among the Christians I knew, I noticed something very curious. You find out much earlier that they were Christian, where they went to church, and kind of secondarily what they studied, what college they were a part of, what division of the university, and where they called home. It was thrilling that Christians identified very strongly with each other socially, that you tend to see a group of Christians that end up taking salsa dancing lessons together because that was what they did, or a group of Christians putting on a picnic or you know, a dinner series at somebody's house. There was this sense of we need to watch out for our brothers and sisters, and these are the people who we spend time with first and foremost. Yeah, and there was also openness. You brought other people into the community. You tried to share your faith and your witness with others, but there really was that knowledge of, you know, we're a family here, and that extends across all sorts of barriers and divisions that I didn't really see that sort of behavior very much on campus in the United States.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this now. In both Washington and Lee, which is in Lexington, Virginia, and in your experience at Oxford, you got involved with local churches, right? You didn't just stick around on campus.
Yes, I did. I attended regularly a Presbyterian church, PCA church in Virginia, and found the superb St. Ebbs Church in Oxford in England, an Anglican church, but one that teaches scripture and reaches out to the community. I mean, just extremely strong, theological, and a world-changing sort of church. And so I was heavily involved in both those churches and very encouraged by those ministries. At both universities as well, I was involved in university Christian ministries as well, in addition to being involved in a church off campus. Both have certain critical benefits.
Okay.
A church provides a place of stability and peace away from campus, but close to it, your friends and the leadership there will often have a better idea of what you're going through on campus than your pastor at home might. But at the same time, it's a place to come away from the trouble of campus and a place to be safe and rest up. A university Christian ministry, on the other hand, offers a very public way to identify with your faith on campus, and then accountability in day-to-day events to keep you busy and in the Word and kind of away from the temptation to just become a Sunday Christian, as we used to say, someone who parties hard on Friday nights and spends Saturday hungover and does everything all week like they're non-Christian, and Sunday morning is cleaned up and in church. It's also often far easier to invite your friends, non-Christians, to informal Bible study in the student union on Tuesday night, or to a talk given by a speaker on Thursday, than to convince them to wake up early on Sunday and come to church with you, particularly if they have scarce or negative experience with the church in general.
So, John, what advice would you give an incoming freshman, a homeschool graduate from a Christian home, they're just starting college right now? Tell me what advice would you give them?
I'd say get involved early on, both with Christian ministries on campus and a church off campus. I would encourage you to maintain contacts outside of Christian circles for your witness, for the influence you're going to have on others. You may not have any clue just how much the Lord is working other people's lives and using your example of unafraid, courageous Christianity. At the same time, know who to really count on, who you can ask for advice, who you can take criticism from. Let your close companions, your romantic interests, and such be people who are heading to the same place as you are. At the same time, socially, I'd say don't be afraid to be uncool, and don't let your desire for acceptance drive you at the same time. You don't want to be weird just for the difference's sake. On innocent matters, just on those, mind you, do try to meet people where they are. You know, the fact someone listens to slightly different music than you do, or has seen a few movies perhaps you wouldn't approve of, doesn't make them automatically an unworthy person to get to know. And you may need to make your own fun. That's okay. You may find your closest friends doing that one weird board game, or taking the hike, or working on that service project right along with you.
Now, I'm glad you mentioned that, because one of the things that impressed us watching from a distance as your parents is that you carved out your own niche, your own Christian ministry, if you will, just a personal ministry there in Lexington, and had quite an impact, I think, on a lot of people around you. Can you describe that?
Can you tell us about your Friday night dinner party?
Yeah. As I've referenced before, WNL was an extremely cliquish place. It was a small campus, and nearly everyone knew of everyone else, but you didn't really associate across boundaries. Greek life and independence, social high rollers in the less trendy sororities and fraternities, cadets from the military school next door, and the preppy fraternity guys on our side of the line. Class and race divides were also very noticeable. Now, I love cooking. I love home cooking. I grew up eating good food, and, well, frankly, the dining hall was a shock. On the advice of my old InterVarsity campus worker, in my sophomore year, I organized a dinner for independents, mostly first years, on the week of the biggest fraternity events all year, when if you weren't in on all that, you were feeling very lonely and very left out. I just wanted to provide a place to go and something to do for these other students. And it was such a rousing success that different thinking, different talking, and I was able to organize further dinners from time to time, settling into a weekly or biweekly pattern. So, just sending out email blasts to all sorts of people, pretty much everybody I had a real relationship with on campus. And then 6 to 10 to 12 students, a different group every week, kind of gathering in my kitchen on Friday night for dinner and conversation and fellowship. Christian, non-Christians, occasional cadets, white and black and Asian, sorority girls and fraternity guys, independents alike. It was really cool to get to hang out with these people away from the drive of the alcohol-fueled parties on campus and hookup culture, and just have some good sober fun and get to see that it's possible to have fun that way. You don't need a drink in your hand. That you don't need a a girl on your arm you're going to take back to your room at the end of the night. You know, that there's a way to have fun and have friends and live up to your faith at the same time. It was vastly encouraging to me just to have those contacts, and I'm told that it really made a lot of difference to others too.
I'm sure it did, and I think that it gives hope to those who may find themselves. Not just those who are looking for someone to organize an event, but, you know, if you get on a campus and you feel somewhat on the outside circles, to go ahead and plant your flag and say, that's fine, we'll build our camp out here then.
And just to stay strong, you know, I think I would tell kids that are facing going to college, they're starting out, that, you know, when you doubt, when you worry, get on your knees. Get out your Bible. Call a strong Christian friend. Get some help. Because the fact that your faith is in battle does not mean you lose it. You know, that means that sometimes you come out stronger. Maybe with some dents in your armor, but you come out stronger and better able to fight. John, you have been a blessing to us. It was a blessing to see you make your way through college, keeping the faith, and not only that, but spreading it. I really appreciate you joining us this weekend.
Thank you very much. And if I can just say one more thing to those students out there heading into this, it may be rarely that you do end up on a on a battlefield where almost everyone else has fallen. Maintain your supply lines. You know, keep praying, keep spending time with the Lord, call home frequently. You need to live on campus. That doesn't mean that has to dominate every aspect of your life. So keep in touch with your friends back home and look forward to the summers and live out your faith in the middle of all this.
I think that's excellent advice. Thank you so much. We've had our guest this evening has been John Calvin Young. He is our oldest son, but he is a graduate of a secular liberal arts college who not only kept his faith, but grew through it. And I want to thank you, John, for your time this evening, and appreciate the wisdom that you shared there. It's a fantastic experience.
Yes, thank you, John. Thank you for joining us. All right,
thank
folks, this has been, thank you, friends. This has been Helen Melanie Young with Making Biblical Family Life Practical.
And before we go, I think we do need to mention we've got a big event coming up.
We sure do.
We do. I tell you what, if you are on the West Coast, anywhere on the West Coast, or if you have frequent flyer miles even, we are going to be leading the Homeschool Family Camp at Jeunesse Park Christian Camp in Cold Spring, California. Now, this is just outside Yosemite National Park.
Beautiful place.
Beautiful location in the Sierras. And we are going to be there for a four-day event. This is going to be called Breaking the Siege.
See, the idea is, you know, we know we're in battle. We build our walls around our castles here with our children. You know what? Maybe it's time to go out and address the culture, to break the siege that our families are under and to fight back.
So if you want to take part in this thing, this is a family event. It's going to be October 9th through October 12th. And, yes, that's across a weekend, okay? So October 9th through 12th. And you can get information at their website. Go to Jeunesse Park. That's Jeunesse Park, all one word, .com.
And then you click on Family Camp, on Homeschool Family Camp, and come and join us. I think it's going to be a blast. And don't forget, this week, we're going to be hosting Lee Benz, the Home Scholar, to talk about a homeschool parent's guide to grades, credits, and transcripts. It's a free webinar, Thursday night, 8 p.m. Eastern. Register, save your seat at raisingwillmen.com/Benz, B-I-M-Z. Folks, we're going to see you next week. Thank you for coming.
I do appreciate you coming. And, you know, every week we're here at 9 o'clock Eastern time on Monday evenings, and you can listen to us on iTunes. You can listen to us on the website of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. It's all there, and we do appreciate your time. So thank you. God bless you for listening. See you next week.
You've been listening to Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young. If you found this program interesting, challenging, and encouraging, why not join us on the web at halandmelanie.com. That's HalandMelanie.com. Or follow us on social media. You can find us on Facebook at Facebook/HalandMelanie or Facebook.com/RaisingRealMen. This program is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Join us next week when we'll be back to talk about making biblical family life practical. Until then, thank you and God bless you for listening.